Diamonds are forever.
But now let's move from the New York Stock Exchange to the NASDAQ, the home of online diamond retailer Blue Nile with its ticker symbol NILE. Blue Nile recently announced that growth would be slowing. So is Blue Nile slightly imperfect or really imperfect? Well, a question I'm particularly interested in because Blue Nile is a stock recommendation in two of our Motley Fool investment newsletters, one of which I co-manage. Mark Vadon is the co-founder and CEO of Blue Nile. Mark, welcome back to the Motley Fool Radio Show.
Thanks. Glad I could join you again.
Mark, Blue Nile recently announced that growth will be slower than expected. What's behind the slowdown?
You know, we've seen pretty sharp increases in the cost of online advertising, and it's making it harder in this environment to acquire customers. So we're very committed to being a profitable business and continuing to maximize the operating profit and free cash flow of the business. So in this environment, we're being a little bit more conservative with how we acquire customers, and that's, you know, translating through to slightly slower growth over the next few quarters.
And I guess it's a story about paid search, and just to make sure I'm defining my terms, that's the method of online advertising where companies are bidding for the right to be associated with particular keywords, the word diamond, for example. And for its top five keywords, Blue Nile's paid search costs, if I have my numbers right, Mark, rose by more than 80%. You said that competition for particular keywords has become, well, irrational. Explain.
Yeah, we're seeing the cost of all online advertising going up, but I think search we've seen, you know, by far the largest increases. I think people are very excited about Google and about paid search in general, and they're just getting ahead of themselves in some cases in what they're willing to pay to acquire a customer. Mm-hmm. During Q4, we just saw very rapid increases, and you know, our mindset in general, we're the largest person on the internet in the jewelry space, and we feel if there's a qualified customer, we can monetize them better than anybody in the world. And so when we're seeing prices being paid to acquire customers that are high for us, we're pretty certain other people are losing money in order to buy those customers. So that behavior is in some ways, we think, reminiscent of the deals people were striking in 1999. And rather than do those types of things and have that kind of behavior, we're being a little bit more conservative. And, you know, we're still playing on paid search, but we'll be a little more rational with what our bidding is. And if, you know, if people want to lose money acquiring a customer, then we'll allow them to do that.
Mm. And, of course, back in 1999, a lot of that advertising money, the explosion in advertising, was really venture capital-backed. I mean, it was me starting my business, getting venture capital, and then overspending it in inefficient ways back then. Where is the money coming from today, though? Are you saying it's the same VC money, or are these coming maybe from more mature organizations that are just trying to keep up?
We're seeing two types of players really bidding aggressively on paid search. One is smaller companies that are really, you know, small jewelry stores out there who are getting aggressive for very short periods of time. So they'll come online on Google for a matter of days or weeks and spend a relatively high amount of money until they run out. Mm. We're also seeing very large companies who traditionally have not played with the internet dabbling in it and really, we think, trying to understand the economics of it. So I think we're seeing a combination of different types of players spending money, but what they tend to have in common is not as much experience with the online environment.
Mark, I mentioned that your costs, if I'm quoting you right, rose by more than 80% for the top five keywords. What are those five top keywords?
You know, our best keyword is the word diamonds, of course. 72% of our revenue is engagement rings. And, you know, so most of our best keywords play around the term diamonds or around the engagement category.
Hmm. Google is the dominant search engine and the dominant player in paid search. In December, you paid 50% more to Google for paid search than you paid in the year before. Do you feel like you're at the mercy of Google, or are there enough other alternatives that, hey, you could walk away from Google and still have a good business?
Well, you know, we certainly wouldn't ever want to walk away from Google. I think it's a great company. It's a great advertising vehicle, a great way to reach consumers. But it is only one of many ways for us to reach consumers. Our two largest sources of consumers are actually referral. You know, people who haven't seen any advertising, they just have a friend who bought from us, and then repeat purchasing, because once somebody buys from us, they have such a great experience, they tend to come back. So Google is one of many sources out there, our dependence on it is not tremendous, but you know, it is a channel that can deliver a lot of customers and one we want to continue to work with.
Let's talk about your customers. When we talked with you in February of 2005, you said the average Blue Nile customer spends around $1,200. What does that number look like today?
It's pretty similar. Our average price point for 2005 was up a few percent over 2004. We've stayed very focused on the exact same business model that we've had for going on 7 years now, and it's aiming at the high end of the jewelry market, being very focused on the engagement ring market. In engagement rings, our average ticket is over $5,000. And then trying to bring in that engagement customer and give them a great experience, and then provide the other products so that we can be their jeweler for life. After they get the engagement ring, make sure they come back for their wedding bands, for a wedding day gift, for gifts for their groomsmen, all those types of things. And really, lock in that consumer base and just do what's right for them for the next 50 years of their purchasing.
And you talked about you used the word jeweler for life. Last year you said 90% of your revenue comes from products that have a diamond in it. What does that percentage look like today?
For the year 2005, 72% of our revenue was engagement rings. Another 17% of the revenue was other jewelry products that have a diamond in them, mm-hmm. and roughly 11% was items without a diamond. And that's on a revenue basis. When you look on a unit basis, the majority of our sales come from items with no diamonds. Mm-hmm. They're sterling silver products and pearl products that are at lower price points, but can move a lot more units.
Selling lots of silver trinkets, but when you start adding up the diamonds, they dominate the top line.
Yeah, you got to sell a lot of $50 bracelets to hit the revenue of selling a single $50 or $100,000 diamond.
Are you familiar with the business Claire Stores? Do you know that company at all?
Claire's Boutique.
Claire's Boutique is part of it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very different part of the market than we're in, but I've seen it.
It really is, but it's always impressed me because they're selling things that cost $5, $6, $7, $8, $9 in retail stores across America, and they create some success by doing that. That's hard work.
It's a lot of work. When you look at our business, last year we did about $203 million in revenue, and we shipped out roughly 150,000 packages. And that's one of the things I love about the business is with the high average price points, it's very leveraged. You don't need a tremendous number of employees in order to create some pretty significant economics for your shareholders.
What percentage of your customers are return customers today at BlueNile.com?
Our return business is roughly 20% of our revenue. It's a higher percentage of our units, but return purchases, because you only buy an engagement ring once, hopefully, return purchases tend to be lower, a little bit lower price point.
And actually, we recently put this question to the CEO of the Knot wedding planning company. It seems like an appropriate question maybe for you as well. Given that so much of Blue Nile's business is engagement rings, and given that you want repeat business, Mark Fadon, CEO of Blue Nile, are you secretly rooting for divorce and second, third, and fourth marriages?
We are not. We want what's right for our customers out there, and hopefully our male customers form one great relationship, but then they keep that relationship going by giving lots of high-end jewelry gifts year after year for their entire marriage.
Forrester Research has said that an increase in the number of female shoppers will contribute to 14% of jewelry sales moving online by the year 2010. Is Blue Nile seeing a greater percentage of female customers, Mark?
Our business has always been very focused on the male customer, mm-hmm. and it continues to be. We see slightly more female customers than we did several years ago, and part of that is all the women who've received gifts from Blue Nile are now aware of the brand, and they're coming back and doing some self-purchasing. But still today, roughly 85% of our revenue is coming from male customers.
Mm-hmm. This is the Motley Fool Radio Show from NPR. We're talking diamonds with Blue Nile CEO Mark Fadon. It's our annual Rank the Competition question. Mark, this year we'd like you to rank the following companies in terms of what competitive threat they represent to your future cash flow. They are Tiffany, Amazon.com, eBay, and Zales.
Gosh, they're all great companies. I think when we look at who we think is the most significant competitively of that set, it would be by far Tiffany. Tiffany just has so much credibility in the jewelry space, has amazing products, and it's really, when we look at what we're trying to build, over the years, 20 years from now, we'd want to be seen as having the credibility and the brand that Tiffany has built over time. Tiffany's been in business for a very, very long time, has built a fantastic brand, has taken care of its customers. I think they're just a great competitor. eBay has been a competitor of ours since the first day we were in business. They sell a lot of jewelry, but there's not much overlap. They're selling more of low price points and not so much engagement. I think it's similar for Amazon. I think people are comfortable buying lower price point items from Amazon, but it's hard to say, will you marry me from Amazon.com? The brand really just isn't there for that that part of the market. And then Zales has a very different product line. So I think as you go through all of those, by far the most significant competition of that set would be Tiffany.
Hmm. And Mark, is a Tiffany diamond qualitatively different than a Blue Nile diamond, or are they all just coming from the same place?
Tiffany has incredible products, but I'd have to say I think the quality of the jewelry coming out of Blue Nile is fantastic and is definitely up there with anybody else in the marketplace. The good news is if you're buying jewelry from Blue Nile, you're paying 20 to 40% less than you'd pay in a traditional store. We just run on a very different margin structure. Tiffany's gross margins are in the high 50s. So for every dollar of jewelry they buy, mm-hmm. they're selling it for roughly, close to $2.50. Our margins are in the low 20s. So when we buy a dollar worth of jewelry, we're only charging you, roughly $1.25 for it. So there's just so much more value on the table there for consumers. And the goal for us is make sure, we're concerned with building a great brand over the years. So make sure the quality of the product is up there with Tiffany or anybody else.
Mm. And in terms of big time competition, Mark, have I left anyone out?
Our biggest competition when we talk to our customers is all the little local jewelers around the country. This is an incredibly fragmented industry. There's 29,000 local jewelers around the United States, and really that's our competition. It's all in every town there's a local high-end jeweler who's been there for many, many years, and that's who we've been taking market share from over the years, and I think that will continue to be the competition for years to come.
Do you ever talk to those guys, by the way, and do they like you?
I don't have a lot of friends in the local jewelry industry because, we're putting tremendous pressure on people's margins. I think the positive thing is for consumers, we're cleaning up a lot of bad sales practices that have been going on for years. In order to buy from us, consumers are learning a tremendous amount about jewelry. We really lead. When you look at our slogan under our brand name, it's education, guidance, diamonds, and fine jewelry. We're leading with education and content and making people comfortable with this product. That makes them much smarter shoppers. And good retailers, I think, are embracing that as well and making sure that their information they're giving consumers is good. And, retailers who aren't as good are feeling the pinch from that.
And we know your business is seasonal, the holidays being a big part of Blue Nile. In our previous conversation, you said Christmas was number one. I think you said New Year's is number two. Valentine's Day is number three. What holiday is number four?
Surprisingly, the next holiday after that is Mother's Day, where it's both people buying gifts for their moms out there, and then also a new trend is men buying gifts for their wives who are recent mothers. And you see some pretty amazing Mother's Day gifts going out the door in May.
Mm-hmm. Mark, what's the biggest challenge in running a public company?
I think the biggest challenge in running a public company is trying to balance the long term and the short term. It's really, what we want to be doing is always focusing on, not on what the business looks like today, but what the business can become 5 years, 10 years, 20 years out, and making the investment decisions for the business that are really commensurate with that vision.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge, though, is to do that when shareholders want to see results quarter by quarter, and having a good, healthy balance between making the right decisions for the present and the right decisions for the future.
And looking back over the last year, Mark, what do you think has been your best decision as CEO of the company?
You know, I think our best decision last year was probably some of the investments we made in our international businesses. We last year were put a lot of effort into getting our UK business up and running, and that business, while today is still a very small business, it's showing tremendous potential for the future. It's you know, this year it'll be several million dollars in sales, which is very small. But it's showing triple-digit growth, and we look out a few years and think we could have a fantastic business in the EU, and then longer term in Asia as well. So, you know, what we've built here in the United States, we believe is just the first step in creating a larger international business.
Mark Vadon is the co-founder and CEO of Blue Nile. Blue Nile is a Motley Fool recommendation in our Rule Breakers and Hidden Gem services. Mark Vadon, thanks for joining us on the Motley Fool Radio Show.
Thank you.
A kiss on the hand may be quite continental, but diamonds are a girl's best friend.